And we are live at the College Football Hall of Fame. This is the Steakhouse. Your table is ready for what should be a spectacular week, not just on this particular radio show, but the entire radio station. And lucky enough, on a day like today, to be joined by an All-American out of the SEC, longtime host alongside Steaky here on the Steakhouse, Drew Butler. Right smack in downtown Atlanta.
We're here, man. It is SEC Media Days. We are at the College Football Hall of Fame, and Commissioner Greg Sankey is about to take the podium to give his State of the Union address. I believe there's 1,200 credentialed media members that will be in and out of the College Football Hall of Fame all week. And here today is South Carolina, Vanderbilt, and Ole Miss. So kicking things off in a big way, and we're going to recap everything, and it's a huge week in Atlanta. My goodness.
Yeah, so this is one of those weeks where when you are looking 8 months out, a year out, whatever it is, you're going to be like, dude, the All-Star Week is going to be the exact same time as SEC Media Days downtown. And then, oh, yeah, there's going to be – I think Beyonce has one night left, I think it is, or I'm not even sure. But just everything that's been going on downtown and around Atlanta, and you know the buzz over at the Battery began days ago. The Major League Baseball draft, which I watched quite a bit of that yesterday. Did you catch any of that?
I was following it on social media.
Yeah.
Had some family, friends, and people adjacently that I wanted to see where they ended up going to. But the MLB draft was going on last night. To your point, MLB All-Star Village is up and running right now at Cobb Galleria. I've had a bunch of people hit me up and say that that's an awesome setup. The Home Run Derby is tonight, which should be an incredible atmosphere. Starts at 8 p.m. on ESPN. And tomorrow night, the Midsummer Classic, which should be a great celebration, not only of baseball, but of the city of Atlanta. So you got Beyonce. You got the All-Star Game and the festivities around it. You got SEC Media Days. How about this as well? I mean, the Open Championship, the British Open, is this weekend. If you want to get your golf kick in, also, there is a national championship in town at the Atlanta Athletic Club. They are hosting the U.S. Girls Junior Amateur. So 144 of the best 18 and under female golfers from all around the world. Free admission, too. So plenty to choose from if you're in Atlanta this week.
Yeah, Commissioner Sankey is on the stage, just to give you a sense. By the way, four coaches today. Brian Kelly will start it at 10:25. Shane Beamer at 11:45 a.m. Ole Miss coach Lane Kiffin, and then Clark Lee was just sitting next to us doing an interview. So to give you guys some sense, the SEC meeting, media days were in Hoover, Alabama forever. And with the expansion, it's a great boon to that area. And Rusty's probably attended 25 of them. He'll be with us on the air in a little bit as well. Or God knows how many, and so many of these folks have been coming to the SEC. But obviously the scale of the SEC, the expansion of the SEC, it just obviously warrants moving it around and putting it in a locale of a city the size of Atlanta, and I'm not sure exactly the venues moving forward, but we'll talk about that as well.
I'm sure they'll announce them. He's probably going to announce them here live during his State of the Union. Sankey will.
So the College Football Hall of Fame, which I would assume most of our listeners have been through, the entire second floor is Radio Row. That was coined at Super Bowl something like 30, 40 years ago, where you have the National Football League try to promote their biggest game and their biggest moment by having radio stations come broadcast, for usually from a convention center, hundreds and hundreds of radio stations and guests that pour through there and companies promoting. The SEC and numerous other organizations love that model. And this is an opportunity for all this media, from radio stations throughout the South that cover the SEC. The entire second floor is Radio Row. The entire first floor, tremendous setup with obviously the main floor where there's been, you know, hundreds of galas in that event downstairs. It's where maybe if you were here with your kids, you played, you know, kicking games and field goals and everything else, and now it's set up as a media entity. Greg Sankey on stage. It is absolutely, having been to numerous events like this, the most spectacular setup for something like Media Days. The space, the room,
no question,
the ability to set up the big screen behind, and how much news will be made, you know, it's a bunch of you know, guys and girls waiting for a moment,
sure.
waiting for a quote, waiting for somebody to run out and throw out on social media. Did Lane Kiffin say something, take a swipe at somebody? Are you going to get, you know, some of these players that come alongside all these coaches, and we'll talk about them as well. Is somebody going to say something of note? I would imagine with Greg Sankey behind us, there are a couple of major topics: expanding the SEC schedule to 9 games, expanding the playoffs. Again, the most powerful person in college football arguably is behind us, and Greg Sankey, certainly running the most powerful organization. Man, oh man, how's the SEC changed from when your dad was becoming a Hall of Famer, when you were an All-American? And did you go to SEC Media Days?
I did in 2010. I just saw it here. I was with A.J. Green and Sean Chappas. We were over in Hoover, Alabama.
So tell me what that was like. What was that experience like?
It was a big honor to get invited.
How does it compare to this? And, yeah, huge honor as well.
Obviously, at the Westin right there in Hoover off of 459 or 20, wherever it is, a little bit lower key back in 2010. I don't think we were there the same day as Alabama with Nick Saban. Of course, all the pageantry around that since you're right in their backyard. But you're in, you're out. You would obviously make your rounds with a lot of the media entities.
So you love that.
Yeah, it was awesome. I mean, we got on the Georgia University King Air. We flew in that morning. We had a little lunch afterwards, and we got out. I believe it was Leland Barrow, Claude Felton, Coach Rick, and the three of us.
Yeah.
We were back home in Athens that afternoon. But a big honor, and obviously the people that do get invited to Media Days are representing their university. They've obviously had a lot of success on the field as well. And some of the names that are here today: Lenora Sellers, quarterback at South Carolina. He's got some Heisman love. Garrett Nussmeier, quarterback at LSU. Diego Pavia, quarterback at Vanderbilt. Austin Simmons, quarterback at Ole Miss. So you're bringing your top guys here. It's going to be a big week. And to your point, today, Greg Sankey, no doubt, touching on college football playoff expansion, SEC scheduling moving forward, the transfer portal, NIL. There are a lot of overarching themes that Greg Sankey's going to opine on and give his thoughts about. And obviously, the 1,200 media members will be covering it in full force. I'm looking at Paul Feinbaum down there, Laura Rutledge from ESPN, Ben Watson, a Georgia Bulldog as well. So everybody's here. It's going to be a great week for college football. I mean, it's essentially the unofficial start to the season.
Yeah, and no question Atlanta is built for this. Anybody who's listened to our radio station, listened to any of the sports talk stations back in the day, obviously when we started 790 The Zone as a young and that had just come down here, been here 30 years, it was a crash course in the Southeastern Conference. You better learn it. You
yep.
better know it. You better live it. It what matters in this market. We have guys driving around all over town from, you know, Gator Nation and Bama fans and
oh, yeah.
Auburn and Tennessee and Georgia. And you know, it's where passion lies. So I love having it in Atlanta for so many reasons, and I think our coverage will be spectacular throughout
the day. This is the capital of college football. Do not get it twisted. Atlanta, Georgia is
the
capital of college football.
As we stare at the famous Steve Penley
incredible.
Piece that, you know, you and I both know, I think Steve Penley, the artist, who has this incredible piece of art.
Mural. It's 16, just a gigantic mural.
16 different standalone that are all put together. The College Football Hall of Fame is in Atlanta for a reason.
I will say, though, there is a little bit of an underlying thought, theme, feel here at SEC Media Days, and it's the fact that the SEC has not won a national championship in 2 years. You know, that is up north in Big Ten country, of course, Michigan, of course, Ohio State. And if you've grabbed Phil Steele's college football preview for 2025, many people call it the Bible. He's got Penn State as his number one team
wow.
in the preseason rankings, followed by Clemson, then Notre Dame. The first SEC team in his preseason rankings is Texas at 4, Georgia's at 6, Alabama is at 7. So the SEC, 2 years without a national championship. Of course, I'm sure that talking point will be brought up a bunch here over the week at SEC Media Days.
Yeah, we've got a lot of stuff to get to, obviously. Let's do a quick 9 at 9, and then we'll obviously redirect a show that will be SEC heavy, to say the least. Well, the baseball world is rolling into Atlanta, as it has been, but now the players are officially off, and the All-Stars showed up in town, I imagine, last night or this morning. And indeed, for the Braves, incredibly painful past the first half of this season, but the first break of this season kind of divided by the All-Star game. We'll talk about the Home Run Derby tonight in a second. The Braves with a decent weekend, 3 one-run games in St. Louis. They win two of the three. They win the first two in somewhat dramatic fashion. And then yesterday, blow a small 3-1 lead. There were 4 hours of rain delays. You know professional athletes. You have been one. I would imagine that those gentlemen waiting for their 5 or 6 day vacation, the 4 hour delay probably came at the worst possible time.
No question, and I would have loved to have been a fly on the wall in that clubhouse
when you're seeing
the break right there in reaching distance. I believe it was 4 total hours.
Yeah, they came back for they had a 90-minute delay, came back for an inning. And then another 2.5.
Oh, my goodness. Cannot imagine the games, the conversations, the banter.
The wives blowing them up because we got our flight leaving for wherever, right?
Oh,
you know,
man.
You're on daddy duty. You better get your ass home.
Oh.
Braves lose a game, though, to St.
That's right. They lose yesterday 5-4. The Bats, however, did wake up over the weekend. Sean Murphy had a great series. Matt Olson had a couple of dingers as well. Friday, they win 6-5. Saturday, they win 7-6, and of course yesterday they lose 5-4. The Braves at the All-Star break, 42-53 stake. That is 12.5 games behind the Phillies in the NL East. So a lot of questions leading into the break, a lot of uncertainty as to which direction this franchise is going to go. But simply put, the playoffs are a far thought at this point.
Yeah, I mean, it's a disastrous season on so many fronts. It started out that way at 0-7 and then manifests itself even more with the injuries to your starting pitching. And I think it's a whole, you know, big conversation probably for the offseason or where this franchise is going to go with a lot of the guys that have been here. Meanwhile, Home Run Derby tonight, maybe the highlight of the weekend.
Are you going to be there?
I am going to be
there.
Yeah,
that's going to be an electric atmosphere. 8 p.m. Eastern on ESPN, headlined by Cal Raleigh of the Seattle Mariners. He's your favorite at plus 260. He's got 38 home runs on the season. Hometown kid Matt Olson. Yes, from your Atlanta Braves. He's taking place in part because of Ronald Acuna Jr. having to step back. He's 7-1. Other names, O'Neill Cruz for the Pirates, James Wood for the Nationals, and Jazz Chisholm Jr., 12-1, your longest shot on the board from the New York Yankees. Watch out. Jazz Chisholm Jr.
Really?
Is one that I'll be looking after.
Really?
And keep in mind, if you're a Braves fan, yes, the All-Star game is here, but guess who's in town this weekend? The New York Yankees.
Yeah, heck of a way for Truist to just, you know, keep things rolling with the Bronx Bombers coming in after this plays out on Tuesday night with the All-Star game. Celebrity game was over the weekend. Futures game was over the weekend. Draft, we'll talk about some Atlanta kids maybe.
Sure.
We come back coming through the draft and a surprise as the number one pick. We're live at SEC Media Days. I'm Steak. That's Drew. This is the fastest 2 hours in radio. Sports Radio, 92.9. The game. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. I'm Steak Drew Butler. It's the Steakhouse 2 hours in the great city of Atlanta, and we are at SEC Media Days. Have you ever hung out, Drew, with the bride on her wedding day? Like, you know, been around her in the morning, like getting ready and prepped and all that. There's a lot of anxiety, right?
Yeah, I mean, adjacently, I've been around in those situations, of course.
That's what this is like. We're talking, this is the most powerful woman in this room, right? Most powerful person in this room. She's the CEO, the president of the College Football Hall of Fame, longtime friend, Kimberly Bowden, who is here. You're hosting a wedding for, like, you know, I assume the planning is pretty close to that of well, you've been married, so right? How does it compare? It's like a lot of them back to back.
I'm probably more nervous today.
Yeah, than
for
you are.
Sure.
Right.
Yeah, everybody's like, "Are you ready? Are you ready?" And I'm like, "What choice do we have?"
That's right. How much planning has been going into this year? Obviously, it's back in Atlanta after being in Nashville, after being in Dallas, but we just said it in the open. Atlanta is undoubtedly the capital of college football, evidenced by the College Football Hall of Fame. This is the best place for SEC Media Days, no question.
Well, this is our third time hosting, and we couldn't agree more. The planning, though, every year, there's, you know, two additional teams this year. It's 4 full days. Just every year you want to make sure that it's buttoned up and we don't miss a thing. So
When do you get awarded media days? How far in advance?
It varies.
When did you know about this year?
We knew about this year in 23 because we knew we were either going to have 24 or 25.
Yep.
But then Texas and Oklahoma joined last year, so they went west.
Yeah. So let's just talk about the event itself. How many folks are rolling through here in terms of media? What's the infrastructure to get ready for something like this? Obviously, very different from Hoover and very different from other places. Coaches want a level of seclusion and privacy, the players. But is there an engagement with the fans? How do you balance all that?
So the engagement with the fans is done really well. We do that through the blue carpet. So they come through what we call our entryway, the quad area, and they walk the SEC blue carpet. And that gives fans a chance to...
Are they next door and walking over? Mm-hmm. Is that what it is connected
yep.
to?
Connected to the Omni. So they come right through the Omni, walk the blue carpet onto the main stage, do their time there, and then they can come up to Radio Row. So it's a very efficient use of their time and a very efficient movement.
How many media folks?
Oh, at least 500.
Yeah, 500 that are going to be covering. 4 days. Mm-hmm. That's a gauntlet, right?
Long 4 days, but good.
Yeah, long 4 days. So what do you notice different from a few years ago? What are you preparing the most for the building? And, you know, just take us through a little bit behind the scenes of all that stuff.
I just think every time we do this, security gets just a little bit tighter. I think that's something that we've noticed. And I think just the excitement around having new teams and just what the new season brings. I mean, everybody's undefeated right now. And it's really fun to be around just the energy.
Yeah. The positivity, right?
Yes.
And seeing these...
And the swagger. SEC's got its swagger.
No question. I mean, I was just mentioning to Steak, there is a little bit of a different vibe this year because it's been 2 years since the SEC has won a national championship. With all that's changed in the game of college football, Kimberly, you have a very significant job as the CEO of the College Football Hall of Fame. What are your thoughts on the state of the game right now?
I mean, the state of the game is in complete and total flux. I think you could state the state of the game now and it would change, you know, tomorrow.
Yeah.
You know, for us, we have the unique place of everything that is good and solid and the traditions and the passions of the game. And so that's our place, is to make sure we preserve that and we celebrate it and we hold it up as something to be aspired to.
Absolutely. I mean, this is an incredible experience whenever you get a chance to come down here right in the heart of downtown Atlanta. We're staring at the Heisman Trophy right now, Stig, the College Football Playoff National Championship Trophy. I see Travis Hunter, the Heisman winner's jersey here. And I have actually had the pleasure of being in the artifacts room where you can see some of the most incredible things in the history of the game of college football, and they showcase it right here.
So you've been in the archive?
I have.
Have you been in the archive?
Absolutely, I have, because my old co-host, Brian Finneran's jersey, is in the archives. I think it's for... Trying to remember. He won the Walter.
Yeah, he won the Walter mm-hmm. Payton Award, which is the D1AA Heisman Trophy.
Player of the Year.
So that jersey was in there. So the building and, listen, the pressure to keep revenue in a building like this. And it's not easy audience-wise. Obviously, weeks like this, big bowl games, national titles, you're not struggling to get folks. But coming to downtown Atlanta all year long, the revenue model of it goes way beyond just getting fans in here, right? How do you keep this thing healthy and vibrant and all those things?
Absolutely. So this unique event actually spans both bringing in the general public and a private event. So private events are about a third of our revenue.
Yeah.
So we do everything from, you know, huge Super Bowl parties, huge national championship parties, SEC Media Days,
Bar Mitzvahs, weddings.
Yes.
The Georgia Lighthouse Foundation Gala every fall.
Every year, evening in the end zone, absolutely.
Yeah, that's right. The Holy Innocence Gala for the year. Like, we've all rolled through here, right?
So, yeah.
So that's a big part of it.
Big, huge part of it. And then sponsorship and donations. We are a nonprofit. I think a lot of people, you know, forget that as well. And so donations and corporate partnerships are the other kind of leg of that stool.
How many years now? Have you been in the seat?
5 years in the seat.
So you're the third, right?
Yes.
Third, fourth, is that right?
Third operating.
My buddy John Stevenson started the thing a long time ago.
And then Dennis.
Yeah. So what's the most fun about this? What's the coolest thing that you've got to do? Give me two or three of the coolest things that you've been able to do since sitting in the seat of the CEO.
Sit down and talk to the two of you. It's got to top the list.
But, I mean, listen, I allowed you that pleasure years ago. So, you know, I mean, even when you weren't such a big shot.
Yeah.
So, but what are some of the great things, fun things that you get to do in that seat?
Oh, that's a tough thing to answer because it is a ton of fun. National championship this past year, just kind of being in the center of it all was really, really cool. And I think just being able to go on the road and take the Hall of Fame out to national championships and see fans get a chance to interact with it in a way. So I think just the ability to be around the game.
What's the number one folks think when they've never been here and they spend 3 hours, when they first walk in? Give me the most common stuff you hear.
It completely not what they expected. Completely
way more over the top.
So interactive. They love all the artifacts. They love all the history. But then they, you know, they get to sing their fight song and they get to sit at a college game day desk. And we, you know, even folks that aren't fans of the game leave saying it was an amazing time.
The interactive part of it, of the College Football Hall of Fame. I don't know. It's almost like how, you know, I've been here, you know, God knows how many times. It's always pristine and clean and tight and, like, over the top, right?
Got an incredible team.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure you've been to all the Hall of Fames, right? Mm-hmm. What separates yours?
I do think it's the interactive nature of it and the personalization. You get to make it your experience.
Yeah.
And you haven't had a chance, I'm sure, to see the AI that we added, which is kind of the screens behind you. So at some point, I mean, we can put a mullet on you as an 80s fan.
Be a good look.
Which is what we need to do.
No, we need to do that.
Absolutely.
But we have like 16 AI touch points throughout the building now that just absolutely layer onto the experience that's already there. So you with the Heisman, you with the national championship trophy, if you've won it. If your team hasn't, then you're sad.
Gotcha. Yeah. Gotcha.
So just a lot of fun interactive there too.
Yeah, it's immersive. It's interactive. They keep adding more and more, as Kimberly just said, with the AI additions and really just the celebration of the game and the history of college football. The Chick-fil-A College Football Hall of Fame does it best year round. And the AFLAC kickoff game is coming up week one of college football. Two games, Syracuse, Tennessee on August 30th at noon. And then the next day, Virginia Tech, South Carolina, August 31st at 3 p.m.
What are you most excited about those two games?
Just having two games and having the fan bases. They're new fan bases.
Yeah.
So anytime we get new audiences, they come.
Yeah, Syracuse fans ain't going to know how to handle this. This is like next level for, you know.
What I'm going to hear, though, is Don McPherson. His mannequin is back there, and he's going to be, you have to fix my calves before Syracuse gets here.
Right. And then great matchups in terms of conferences, too.
Absolutely.
And I believe the Peach Bowl is a semifinal game this year.
Yeah, so it's January 9th.
There you go, January 9th,
Chick-fil-A, Peach
Bowl.
It'll be weird not having a New Year's Eve, New Year's Bowl game.
Yeah, that'll be interesting.
But it's a semifinal. We'll take it.
Listen, there you go. It's going to be hard to match everything they rolled through here last year. No question about it. Like,
yeah, and it was our 10th anniversary. It's like we planned it all.
And Notre Dame, Ohio State. I mean, that was...
Well, you got the incredible final, but you got the best playoff game.
Mm-hmm. Arizona State, Texas was absolutely incredible.
That was sick.
Yeah.
Jake Plummer on the sidelines losing his mind.
Right.
Hall of Famer Jake Plummer.
And you had the SEC title a couple of weeks before.
That's right.
That was just a small little thing of beating Texas. Gunnar Stockton, Carson Beck's final snaps, the whole deal.
You looked at the Arizona State-Texas matchup a month out, and you're like, that's the magic stroke of Gary Stokin. He always gets it, man. He always gets the drama.
Hey, thanks so much for having us. Congratulations on 5 years in this seat.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you, Kimberly. Great to see you.
Building looks great. That's Kimberly Bowen, CEO of the College Football Hall of Fame. When we come back, Rusty should be in the building. Bunch of players floating around. We'll give you the sights and sound from SEC Media Days. Live in downtown Atlanta, the Steakhouse on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is a Monday morning in downtown Atlanta at the College Football Hall of Fame. The SEC Media Days are rolling through here. Thanks to Kimberly Bowden, the CEO of the building.
Yeah, great to see her. Thanks to her for carving out some time for us.
That's a nice gig, if you can get it.
Greg Sankey still on the podium. It is 9:40. He got on at 9 a.m. He's putting on a show up there.
Well, listen, he's not bashful to pontificate, and that's the way to describe Greg Sankey. I'm reading through a lot of his comments, and we'll play them for you coming up in a little bit. And, you know, just in general, the epicenter of college football obviously runs through Atlanta. And the way we just described what happened here last year. Now, not only did you get a playoff game, a national title game, an SEC championship game, but you have two programs, one that's won four national titles.
In you Georgia also had Tech. The kickoff game, Georgia-Clemson.
Was that last year,
yes.
Georgia-Clemson? Tight game. Clemson didn't have any offense, right? They struggled throughout. Georgia wins the game. Yeah, I mean, that's almost an embarrassment of riches. But my point is that doesn't even take into account the year that Georgia Tech had, which is literally 5 minutes from this building, the tradition of Georgia Tech football and what that means, the resurrection under Brent Key, and then, of course, the premier college football program in the United States of America, which is in Athens, an hour and 10 minutes down the road, where Kirby Smart has been able to orchestrate an unprecedented run and do it. You and I have an up-close look at it. I mean, obviously you as part of the program and your dad is part of covering the team the way he has. But to watch, you know, I spent, let me think, what year is this for Kirby?
Is it? This is 8 or 9.
8 or 9, right?
Yep.
I spent 20-something years listening to Georgia fans lament, right? They lamented we didn't win more under Vince Dooley. They lamented, not that they didn't love Mark Richt, but they lamented that we should be in the hunt as you watched, whether it was the Spurrier or the Urban Meyer era, then the Nick Saban era ushers in. I was here for Phil Fulmer and watching Tennessee and all the things they were doing and the T. Martin undefeated season, all these things. And it was just a constant angst of what is it that we don't have that is preventing us from competing at the highest level to win national titles? And there was no tangible answer. There's, you know, the high school players out of Georgia are elite. The following, the program, the passion behind it, the opportunity, the tradition. And Kirby Smart recognized all of it. He spent 10 years under Nick Saban, absolutely buttoned up, doing his job. Never, we interviewed him always once a year.
Yep.
Up at the Ritz at Lake Oconee for that tournament. He'd give us 15 minutes the only time we talked to him. And I remember asking him the question, if Mark Richt ever leave, you know, I've never heard you say you want that job. And he said, listen, you aspire to be a head coach, of course, at some point in your career. But he rolled in there and has simply, there is no way to put a real number or value that's even realistic on what he has done in bringing two national titles and the biggest, most exciting moments in the history of Georgia football.
Right, consistent prominence is what he's brought along with the national titles. I mean, last year feels like it was a down year, and Georgia won the SEC championship. I mean, when I was in school, 2011, we made it to the SEC championship. SEC East Division champs, you know, you thought that you were on top of the mountain.
Right.
The expectations have changed so much. That's all because Kirby brought it to Athens. But I think it's important to note and go back to 2014, early 2015, the timing of how Georgia made that hire, right? 2010, bad year for Georgia, 6-7. 2011, we start off 0-2. That was probably when Coach Richt was on the hottest seat. We ended up winning 10 games straight that season, won the SEC East, and then a year later, they're a play away from an SEC championship and a national championship. However, just a couple of years later, what happens in the middle of the season? Steve Spurrier steps down at South Carolina, so South Carolina has a vacancy. Alabama is on a huge run. There are rumors that South Carolina is going to make a huge push at none other than Kirby Smart, the then defensive coordinator for the Crimson Tide. Georgia, they had an okay season, 9-10 wins as per usual.
Who's our AD before
Greg McGarrity?
Right. So Greg McGarrity talks about the ride from Georgia Tech, Georgia, in downtown Atlanta, and that by the time he got to Athens, he had made his decision, right?
And ultimately, it was the right decision, and it was a tough one. But look, 15 years, what Coach Rick did at Georgia brought them back. Kirby got them to the next level,
no question.
The timing was perfect. And I think Georgia saw, we have to pounce now. This is our opportunity to get our next, hopefully, 15-year coach, and Kirby Smart going into his ninth year at Athens.
Listen, Mark Rick, we've interviewed him countless times after he was head coach. Obviously, I spent years covering
him. I texted with him this weekend.
Yeah, so he'd be the first to tell you. Kirby was able to do things that I probably could not have done. Now, again, he will absolutely reference that the things he asked for throughout his tenure,
absolutely,
they were not delivered to him.
You have to give the athletic department credit because Josh Brooks and President Moorhead are right in line with head coach Kirby Smart as to what do we need to provide you in order to have no excuses for our performance. Kirby essentially said, let's do it.
Kirby essentially said, I'm not coming.
Right,
there.
Right.
Either you have the model of Alabama, which means every opportunity from a weight room to indoor facilities to a nutritional program to the kind of kids that we recruit, the kind of money you spend on recruiting. If you're not going to do that, then you're not going to get Kirby Smart. In fairness to Mark Richt, he was not given those same opportunities.
100%.
He was not given the
indoor practice. They built us a mixed-use picnic area that doubled as an indoor practice walkthrough facility. It looked just like what we're looking at behind us here.
Unbelievable.
At the College Football Hall of Fame in downtown Atlanta. You know, it reminds me, and I was at an event, Jimmy Rain Foundation event, in Montgomery, Alabama, and Bruce Pearl, Auburn's head basketball coach, was the keynote speaker. And this was in front of a largely Auburn crowd. And he's been there for, what, 11 years? It's crazy to think he's been at Auburn that long. But he said, upon his hiring at Auburn, he looked at the athletic department. He said, there's two things. One, you need to provide me with what I need to build a winner. But two, I'm fully recognizing and admitting that Auburn basketball has not held up their end of the bargain. You do this for me, I'll do that for you. Now look at him.
Yeah, and I think with Mark Richt and Georgia covering him all those years, you know, it was very strange the way they would tell him, if you want to be the highest paid coach in the SEC, go somewhere else. If you want to be in the top three or four, we don't do that at Georgia. If you need this to win, that's not, you know. There was an arrogance about the way they approached it. Even the president, Michael Adams, Vince Dooley, kind of an old school mentality, you know, and just not totally being all in. And we had John Gordon on. He was the motivation.
Love John Gordon. That was awesome.
We had him Friday, and I said, how do you walk in a building and know these guys are on the right path? He said, dude, it's alignment. It's total alignment of the owner down to the GM and coach, and that there is an alignment.
Hand in the pile.
And I don't think Mark Richt had the alignment. I don't think he was given the same opportunity, and Kirby Smart has run with it. You see the revenue it provides.
Oof.
As somebody who has a daughter that is there and knows what it took to get into Georgia.
Oh, yeah.
Understanding the Georgia education, the value of it. And let me just say this, too. When you think about the epicenter of college football rolling through Atlanta, there is no more valuable degree than Georgia Tech right now, right? When you talk about the most hireable, the most lucrative jobs for graduating kids, that's at Georgia Tech.
Oh, yeah.
You talk about what Georgia is. As higher learning, as institutions, to have schools at that level that are providing the football alongside it,
ooh,
and, you know, to have that for how many, you know, you'll be in this situation, how many mommies and daddies are like, what the hell is it going to take to get my kid on that Hope Scholarship or that Zell Miller to get him into Georgia, Georgia Tech? And there's great other schools from Georgia State to Kennesaw State to West Georgia to Georgia Southern to all of them. But you got two elite schools that play football pretty good as well. The whole thing aligns to where college football – listen, there's a reason ESPN dumped baseball. That's what happened. ESPN broke up with baseball. Now, they'll have a wonderful night tonight with the
Home Run Derby.
Yep. They understand how to promote and elevate. But they broke up with it, essentially.
Oh, yeah. They absolutely went.
And they said – if we have a bag of money here with billions of dollars in that bag of money is going to slide to college football. And we are all in. All our chips are on college football and the SEC, right?
Yes.
Which is why they took it from CBS, right? Which is why CBS and our buddy Brad Nessler and Gary Danielson, their final years, are calling Big Ten games, which will now be in another station because WANF doesn't have CBS on it, right?
That's right.
So when you think about why that is, because this sport, nobody matches the NFL, but the growth of the college football world, the money in the college football world, the lucrative nature of it, and you see it with 1,200 media members here for one conference, right? This is one conference, right? So, you know, we're lucky that we're right in the middle of it.
We're right in the middle of it. We are at the epicenter, and it's exactly where we should be. You mentioned revenue and the revenue that these athletic departments are making. That is a word that you are going to hear over and over and over again this week. I do not think we are far away, Stake, from college football programs selling space on their jerseys to certain corporations. Could be a potential three strikes question. Who would you think could be on Georgia's jersey?
I agree with
you. Who do you think could be on Tech's jersey?
Listen, Jay Batt.
Happens in the NBA.
Happens
in Major League Baseball.
When Jay Batt named the Georgia Tech Stadium, right?
Yeah, Hyundai Field.
Yeah.
At Bobby Dodd Stadium.
So it was like, what are we waiting for?
Yeah.
Like, what are we? Are we going to still talk about the Model T and the four national titles and Bobby Dodd? Or are we going to try to make money to compete? I will say this: I got a story over the weekend that was kind of fascinating, with a young lady that was in her mid 20s, and she, someone I know, waits on us at a table that we go to a lot of restaurants. And I said, where have you been? She said, I was traveling with my boyfriend with a bunch of college football players. We were down in Miami.
Is her boyfriend a college football player?
So her boyfriend is a college football player, but everybody in their group does like eight
dudes. Gotcha. That's the hot spot for college athletes
so
now
because
I got money to spend.
She just said, dude, she said, you have never seen 21-year-old people, 20-year-old kids, throw money around.
Oh, my goodness.
Going to clubs, when I say tens of thousands of dollars.
Not cheap.
Well, they decide. My point is to spend. She said not only are they all getting paid, which was kind of a just bizarre. She's like, you have no idea how much walk-around money they are. And then,
dude, they don't have any expenses.
And then,
you're on scholarship.
And then the backup, right, because they had to give the dispensation for what they weren't compensated. And then before the ruling came down, throwing as much money as possible.
Front-loaded. Yeah,
front-loaded. Front-loaded.
Yeah.
So you have college football players walking around the way NFL athletes walk around on their first rookie deal.
Dude,
she said, I've never seen a group of men spend money. She said it was kind of gross, kind of shocking, right? A 21-year-old with like $20,000 bar tabs and tables and everything else. That, to me, is the biggest change in college
without
football.
Question. I mean, when we were in school, 2010, 2011, if your checking account was over $100, you felt like you were rich, you might get the car loaded up, go to Buckhead, hit up East Andrews, hit up Five Paces,
you're like
do the thing.
You're a college football student.
Yeah.
In terms of what, you know, I was.
Literally, if you got over $100 in your checking account, you were rich.
You got $58.15, and you go, I'll take $20 out tonight, right?
Yeah,
I know what it's like to be in college.
Of course.
Not a good thing. They're trying to control it. It'll never be worse than the last 4 years. Obviously, the most out-of-control period in college football history when there were no governors whatsoever. And we say all that as we sit here and try to make sense of college football. You haven't been an All-American and played it and played in the NFL. Your dad being in the College Football Hall of Fame. We're sitting in the land of the SEC Media Days. I know there's a frustration with folks driving around hearing stories like that. But here's what happens. Saturday at 12 noon, you have the most
Nobody
captivating
cares.
Audience.
Absolutely.
And if you get on the highways and byways outside Atlanta, they're headed to Knoxville and Clemson. They're headed to, you know,
Oxford and Tuscaloosa.
No question. And they are, or they're getting on a plane and they're going to their, you know, Penn State three games a year.
Absolutely.
They're going to the Big House four times a year. That's what college, it's the product that people want. It's just one step below the NFL, but it's the same game, and people love football. And the SEC is king. Greg Sankey's off the stage.
54 minutes for Greg Sankey here at 2025 SEC.
So who's up first? Is that
I believe that's Brian Kelly.
All right.
I will confirm as I'm looking through
the
schedule, but it does say Brian Kelly will be up next. LSU followed by Shane Beamer, South Carolina.
All right, we're live at the College Football Hall of Fame. Stake and Drew on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Sports Radio 929 The Game. We're live at SEC Media Days, the biggest, baddest sports talk station in the Southeast. Listen, these guys do a great job from Birmingham to Baton Rouge to Huntsville to wherever it is, but nobody's got a 100,000-watt monster signal,
yeah.
Home of the Falcons, home of Atlanta United, home of the Atlanta Hawks, who continue to be an absolute massive conversation around the world of the NBA, where, by the way, they played some NBA Summer League games. Conti could probably update us on that later in the week. Kobe Bufkin went off the other night. If you didn't see it, went for like 33, hitting threes and fallaways. So there's that. There's obviously the Major League Baseball All-Star Game. Front and center.
Going to be awesome.
Atlanta at Truist. They had the...
going to be awesome.
Yeah, they had the...
If anybody has two extra tonight, I was planning on taking my wife out for a date night. I will gladly change that destination to Truist Park. I think she'd enjoy the Home Run Derby.
Oh, so now we got to have two. What if somebody just wants to bring you and she to tell
nope.
date nights off?
You can't nope.
do that.
Nope, I'm not in that situation right now.
No, you didn't.
Yeah, I don't have that kind of good grace.
Oh, okay. So,
But I will tell you this. We're in the middle of it all, as you just said, Stick, right here inside the College Football Hall of Fame, flanked by big names and big stations. To our left, Jacob Hester and Matt Flynn, Baton Rouge and SiriusXM, LSU Stars. To our right, Cole Kublik, Greg McElroy, of course, from Jocks in Birmingham. I got J.D. Piquel here from On3. You and I, we can take any of these guys professionally, physically.
Yeah.
I'll fight them.
Well, yeah.
I'll fight them. And when Rusty Manziel shows up, which he's got to be freaking out, we're going to have to fine him. He is being fined because he's not here yet.
Yeah.
He's probably freaking out because he would be Tom Coughlin's favorite.
Anything.
I mean, he's 40 minutes early to everything.
He shows up 2 hours before his show, and he's driving in from Rome.
But I will take on anybody here.
Yeah.
Really? In any
you
facet.
Feel comfortable?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, certainly at your golf game. Physically,
well, that's obvious.
I wouldn't put you up against too many of these other guys. But there are a lot of ex-quarterbacks floating around from these cities. McElroy and Jocks, one of the great sports talk radio stations.
Absolutely. Cole and Greg do a phenomenal job in Birmingham.
Yeah, I mean, that's like to have a market that size, have that level of juice, right,
mm-hmm.
On their stations. And just in general, you know, Tony Barnhart just had a chance to chat with him.
Gary Stokin making his rounds as well. I mean, these are legends of the game.
Yeah. So, couple of quick things in Atlanta. The Derby tonight, Olsen's in, right?
Yes, and Acuna is still playing tomorrow. Is that right? He's not taking part in the Home Run Derby, but he will be playing in the All-Star game. So Acuna backed out, and Olsen steps in, and it'd be great for him to win it. He is 7-1 right now to win the trophy tonight.
It'll be a lot of fun, obviously, to see how Truist Field looks under that setting, right?
Weather, on wood, should be good tonight
Oh, it's going to be, dude, it's going to be hot
that
this weekend.
That ball will be flying out of there.
Did you golf this weekend?
I did not. I golfed on Thursday.
Okay. I was outside. Bobby had soccer. I played pickle. You want to drop a quick 6 pounds when you weigh 200 pounds?
Sticky out there.
Dude, go out and play a little singles tennis or even, you know, pickleball, dripping, soaking wet. The golf course. Imagine carrying your bags, right, on a weekend
like
this.
You got these girls at the Atlanta Athletic Club for the USGA, U.S. Girls Junior Amateur. It's a national championship, free admission in Johns Creek. They're out there walking. And it is hot, man.
Oh, my gosh.
The youngest competitor is 11 years old.
Oh, my God.
11 all the way up to 18.
There's an 11-year-old.
There's an 11-year-old in the field. Today starts stroke play. Today and tomorrow stroke play. Then they move into match play.
Yeah, British Open coming up also. I mean, it's just a massive weekend. You had Beyonce in town, obviously. I think there's one show left. That's been in the middle of downtown. You know, it's a perfect lead-in to the lull that is – kind of early June, the whole month of June is
right.
When the city empties out. Slowly post July 4th, people get back into town a little bit. And then obviously, first week of August, people are back. There's already games. I was just talking to Kimberly Bowden. Her daughters get games, you know, training and all that late July,
yep.
Early August. So, you know, the city really comes to life. The College Football Hall of Fame and access to these coaches and, you know, it's not quite the same as when Nick Saban would walk into Hoover, Alabama, and there'd be thousands of folks riveted, right?
Yeah.
To for a chance to, like, touch the king or be near him. It's not really that access. And all due respect, it's kind of like the Super Bowl when it was in New York City, which they made clear. First of all, Northeast sites are done anyway. But, like, it didn't even register that anything was happening.
Right.
Atlanta Georgians aren't lining up outside the College Football Hall of
Fame.
This
is what we do.
Right.
This is what we do.
We're not overwhelmed at the chance to,
you know, Nashville, which tries to,
hey, Shane Beamer, can we get, you know, a photo op? I don't think you're going to see a lot of
that. Yeah, Nashville, which tries to swing at Atlanta, and I think they're way out of their lane. They're the ones who would freak out over media days coming to their city. So that's a little pot shot at Nashville. Yeah. I said it. I mean it.
You have a personal thing there.
But that is the situation at hand. This is what Atlanta does, and Atlanta shines brightest when so many things come down to the city all at once. And that's exactly what's happening all throughout this week.
All right, let's talk real quick about the Braves. Obviously a nightmarish. Is that a good word to describe a 42-53 record at the All-Star break?
You know, I would probably call it listless, but with the injuries that have mounted and the storylines that continue to be talked about and the lack of offense, yeah.
I mean, you're 95 games in. You know, not every season is defined by an 0-7 start because, by the way, they got over 500 at some point. But
that is right.
You know, you have to keep in mind that, you know, this season has at every turn showed us who the Braves are, which is a team that can't stay healthy, which is a team that has to reassess some of the guys they gave long-term deals to. Obviously, a nightmarish situation with Jerkson and Profar, which set the tone for the season. And then, of course, the shortstop, a Punch and Judy situation there. Tried to plug in Alex Verdugo. A bunch of guys over the weekend, give credit from guys coming up from the minors all weekend that really did everything possible to, you know, keep him in those games. And you win 2 out of 3 from St. Louis. And, yes, you hear the TV guys say we saw some great signs. Listen, let's be real about what the next –
playoffs are not happening this year.
What's the next 67 game, whatever it is,
right?
42-53, and is it the end of the Brian Snitker era? I would believe that when Brian Snitker manages at the end of the season at Truist Park, that you have to have in the back of your head, either he's going to say, I don't want to go out like this, and Alex is going to give him a shot, or I think he's going to say at 70 years old, this has been the run of a lifetime.
Yeah, I mean, let's take what we just talked about in the last segment and how the time was right for Greg McGarrity to make the tough decision on Coach Mark Richt. Kirby Smart was available. They had to do it. It was now or never in terms of getting an alumni, a guy who's got great pedigree coming off being on Nick Saban's staff for 12-plus years, and get him back in the fold. That's exactly what they did. Now, I'm not familiar, Steak, you might be, with a name who could potentially be bullseye target for the Atlanta Braves to say, hey, we've got to make the decision, and Brian Snitker, one way or another, is not going to be the manager moving forward.
Baseball really not built that way. You know, if you think about the longevity of certain guys, you know, those are the most well-known managers more than anyone else. I think it may be a difference in culture, vibe, energy. I'm just going to say this, too. I watched the MLB draft on the MLB Network last night, and Mark DeRosa, he's about as impressive in every aspect of his life, or every aspect, like,
sure,
we know him well.
Sure.
It's one of the great interviews.
Young, most energetic.
The greatest family.
Players would love him.
Dude,
fan base would be very intrigued by him.
He is so good on that set. Interviewing those kids, he has an it factor, Mark DeRosa. He loves managing that USA team for sure. He does in the
Baseball Classic.
So I'm just saying, that's the name of jumps on. And separate of that, I just want to mention D-Ro because that's how good the freaking guy is. I mean, like, really cool last night to have it at the Roxy. If you saw it last night, the MLB draft was done at the Roxy down at the Battery. Both ESPN was there live with Carl Ravitch and company, and then the MLB draft. And the MLB Network was doing it as well. So, again, a nice opportunity to showcase Atlanta. The celebrity softball game was on Saturday night there.
I thought they used to televise that on Sunday nights. I guess they changed on their schedule because obviously the draft is going on.
It's one of the ultimate just have on in the background type things.
Yeah, you get a good laugh. Maybe somebody hits a dinger that you weren't expecting.
CC Sabathia was the MVP.
I think MLB draft rounds 4 through 20 are today. I'll be very interested. A longtime family friend, Cannon Golden, who's committed to Ole Miss for baseball out of Buford, Georgia. Man, I've known Cannon since he was probably 4 years old. His dad, Ryan Golden, has trained many a college athlete in the Atlanta area, myself included. So congrats to Cannon. Hopefully you get some good news today.
Yeah, so no real surprises from Greg Sankey and just going through some of his stuff. We'll play some cuts. He spoke earlier. He said, first of all, the men and women's programs totally endorse. He talked to NCAA Hoops for a second. Expanding that tournament field, wants all the SEC teams in at some point. I don't know how many more you can get, but he also talked about the 9-game SEC schedule, and he continues to go by the notion is we don't have a clear-cut understanding of how the playoff committee comes to their decisions. When we have a clearer sense, we'll make a better decision on 8 versus 9 teams. But he just says it's messy right now in college football. Change is messy. We get it. We're doing all these things at once. More changes in 5 years than in 100 years.
Yep.
And Greg Sankey spoke to that as well as, you know, the most powerful person in the sport. So
yeah, and don't get it twisted. Greg Sankey has one job and one job only, and that's to advocate for the Southeastern Conference, position them as the leaders in college sports. And if you don't think that he had some sort of communication with all 16 head football coaches before taking that podium today say what message do we need to get out there, you're crazy.
His job is to get Missouri in the college football playoff.
Right, you know exactly.
What I mean?
Yeah.
His job is to get Ole Miss and Miss State and Vandy and Georgia and Bama and Auburn and Florida to every one of the NCAA basketball tournament, right? So expand it. We're the best teams.
Yep.
Take 14 of us, right? Like, that's what he's paid for. It's like Roger Goodell paid by the NFL
Absolutely.
Owners to advocate on behalf of and bring as much money as possible. So, you know, that's part of what he's there to do. I do want to remind everybody, Russ will be coming up with us after the break, who is like the king of the scenario here and walking around kissing babies and shaking hands. I will mention that the 10 o'clock hour is brought to you by Wise Guys Pro Wash, Atlanta's number one rated pressure washing company. When we come back, we'll ask Rusty, what does he think will be the most interesting? It is a long 4 days, man.
Now we're ready, though. Rusty's here. I've been talking a bunch of smack. Rusty, I said, this table right here, physically, professionally, emotionally, we could take anybody on, and we might have to get physical here in a little bit.
Well, there's a lot.
Stand our ground.
There's a lot of there's a lot of testosterone floating around the building for sure. When we come back, more from SEC Media Day. Steak, Drew, and Rusty. Best lineup in Atlanta radio on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. My name is Steak. I get this little two-hour jaunt called The Steakhouse with the best talent Atlanta radio has ever assembled. How do I know? I got Drew Butler here. I got Rusty Manziel from On 3. And we are live at the College Football Hall of Fame. By the way, we'll consider this. The tailgate is brought to you by All Four Seasons Garage and Entry Doors. Brian Kelly getting ready to speak. Greg Sankey just wrapping up. I'll give you the headlines from the Sankey SEC Commissioner press conference that just happened. Rusty, how many of these you covered over the years?
Oh, man, that's a great question. Back to the Hoover days. I think my first, like, as a member of media was 2009.
Right, not the Hoover. Same as your high school prowess, certainly – in the college game now for a long time.
I've watched this thing grow. I've watched it from 400 or 500 people to over 1,200.
Yeah, they said 1,200 credentialed media members are here.
They sent me an email. They sent everybody an email, but you have to be a full-time credentialed member.
Like wow.
Billy Joe Jim Bob that runs Dog of the Day is not going to be
That's
here.
It's a great show, by the way.
It's a great show.
Dog of the Day.
Sponsored by Rusty.
So,
by the way, State, you've done. Let me ask you this before we get. Let me hijack this before you even get going.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen Atlanta do anything other than the Super Bowl? This is insane. What's going on right now?
All of it at once. You mean?
I heard Rick Neuhausel coming in this morning. Some. He said he landed last night, and the Uber guy told him, said, "You're not getting to that hotel. All the streets are shut down. Beyonce's about to get out."
Wow.
He walked 4 miles last night. Got to the hotel at midnight.
Can you imagine?
Jeez. I bet you Rick Neuhaus was finding some golf to play this week.
You could hear it in his voice. He was a little low this morning.
The Uber surge.
Is what he said.
At Mercedes-Benz.
Oh, my goodness. Astronomical.
With Beyonce getting out last night. And wrestling. I had no idea wrestling was
You see Goldberg at his final match
The
other night?
I watched it. I hadn't watched wrestling in 25 years. Bo, you'll be proud of me.
Was it Saturday night or Sunday night?
It was Saturday night, NBC. Prime time.
Oh, wow.
I did see that.
And I was watching
out of
golf.
Atlanta.
Golf going off and wrestling comes on. I was like, what the hell's going on? Then they said it's Goldberg's last match.
You were locked in.
For two. Are you watching wrestling? I said, you damn right I'm watching wrestling.
Paying my respects.
This is Goldberg.
Absolutely.
58 years old.
I was going to say, how about the shape he's in? He's 58.
58. He lost.
Yeah, I know.
He lost.
They lost his last match.
That's a shame.
And he said he's never lost in Atlanta, an Atlanta card.
My man got put in a sleeper in Atlanta. It's happened to the best of us.
I think they probably said, you want to do this? No, they had to say it. Like, we're not going to have a 58-year-old guy
win. Of course.
And if you want to do this, we'll give you a good match, but you're not going away.
It was great. He had all the people in the ring with him. He had like over 200 people. A lot of former teammates.
People came from all over the country that have been friends with Goldberg. We've interviewed him countless times over the years. Georgia grad. Georgia
son walked out with him. One plays at Colorado. It was awesome.
Oh, he's got a kid that plays at Colorado.
Yeah, freshman. Yeah, linebacker.
He got himself in game shape, I'll tell you that, for a 58-year-old dude. So that was going on. Beyonce just absolutely crushing. I've been reading the reviews. People are losing their mind how big time this show is. I wonder where she stays when she's in a 6-day.
So what is the old – I'm going to age myself. What's the old Mandarin Orient? What's that now?
It's the Waldorf, I believe.
Waldorf.
Yeah.
So I happened to stay there by luck one time, and I remember them bringing Pink in. She came in. They took an elevator up the
up
middle
to the penthouse.
So I would imagine a lot of people are probably saying something like that.
Behind the old Del Frisco grill.
Special elevator.
I got to believe they have a house somewhere because she's almost too big. Like, you can't walk her through the Regis to a penthouse.
Yeah.
Or every day in and out of that right in the middle of Buckhead. Like, think about how many days that show has been here and how many things are going on just on that.
The economic.
Do you know anybody that went?
Oh, the
economic.
I did.
They loved it, right?
Oh, yeah, it was incredible. Yeah.
She didn't stop for 3 hours. Yep. You know, it's a salute to her.
She plays a great mix, her old stuff and her new stuff.
Yeah, she brings her other stuff back.
Yep.
Saw a lot of ladies having a big night out. Obviously, SEC Media Days, great in terms of putting all these TV networks, radio networks, digital networks in downtown Atlanta, spending money for 4 days, booking events and all that. But it's not at the same level as what you're getting now, the Major League Baseball All-Star Game. If you're in Buckhead, I mean, if you're entertaining, no disrespect to Cobb County, but if you are Major League Baseball sponsors, you're in Buckhead. So to see Buckhead explode with this celebration of the All-Star Game on top of everything else, I mean, it's a wild week to
not be a room, in. Not a room. I can attest to this. There's not a room within an hour and a half in the city of Atlanta.
There is not.
There's not one room.
So where are the All-Star players staying? Any idea?
They probably stay at the Omni there. They probably stay at the Omni there for sure. That's where the visiting
teams.
They must
have that thing.
And they have the Marriott across.
Wow.
You couldn't book it either.
No, they got to be at the Omni. You're probably right. You know.
The Marriott and Omni, too. That's probably the two officials.
So I'm looking forward. I get a chance to go to the Home Run Derby tonight. Just to feel the energy and the excitement, Truist Park being showcased now in the manner it is, the MLB draft going on last night, which was at the Roxy, the All-Star, the celebrity game. So, Sankey's big headlines, and it's not going to surprise anybody, but I'll just go through them with Rusty. Rusty Manziel, Drew Butler, Steak Shapiro here, obviously live at SEC Media Days. Sankey voiced his support for the college football playoff expanding beyond the 12-team format for the 2026. And by the way, if you go to your little AI and your ChatGPT, they're quoting on3.com, first one that comes up, which, by the way, a lot of folks here, if that's who they're – just a shout-out to Rusty and his company for that. Now, that's not a small deal when you Google it and that's what comes up, or ChatGPT. But anyway, the SEC and Big Ten have a major say in shaping the future format. Sankey emphasized expansion needs to be beneficial, and the 12-team playoff will remain if, obviously, they don't get it to 16.
He also said, quote, college athletics are not broken.
Right.
So he's standing pat and firm on that statement.
Did you hear my story about a young lady?
I did, and I say this, two things. I thought it was great what you said as far as the kids with all the money, but you also followed up with, and Drew followed up too, nobody cares at noon on Saturday. And that's what I tell people. I said, don't let everything that's happening right now get you out of college football, because you're still going to wake up on Saturday morning and you're still going to watch game day and you're still going to be part, and it's still going to be your team. It's a little different path to get you there.
Right.
But it's still your team.
Yeah. I mean, listen.
And if you're a Georgia Bulldog fan, it's a damn good time to love college football.
Yeah, that's a fact.
Listen, if a kid is walking around,
I've got unbelievable
with
stories.
With $10,000 in walk-around money. And by the way, that's what she was saying.
Cashola.
There are clubs.
So the front-loaded deal.
So my point is, and the front-loaded deal. But I'm just saying, if a kid's walk around $10,000 in walk-around money, at the end of the day, when your grandfather took you to an Auburn game and your dad took you to an Auburn game.
T-shirt and a program.
And you wake up, like, what do you care about all that other stuff? Is it good for the game? No. Is it good for the players? Absolutely not. Does it probably mess up between the portal and the money? A lot of these young 20-year-olds, maybe a little less focused than they would have been. But at the end of the day, the brand of college football is the most passionate brand that exists, with the exception of maybe 10 NFL programs. I wouldn't say the whole NFL, maybe 10.
Packers, Steelers, Giants, Eagles.
I've been to, obviously, my high school teammate, Buffalo, and I was like, this is SEC. Like,
right.
That's
the biggest compliment you can give an NFL program.
Yeah, no
Think
doubt.
Think about that.
No doubt.
If you compare them to an SEC fan base.
That's what I always said about playing for the Pittsburgh Steelers, is people would ask, what's it like? And I said, the Steelers is like playing for an SEC team in the NFL.
And what was Arizona like? Not.
Well, when you're good, it's good. When you're not good, nobody's in the stadium, because there's better things to do in Scottsdale in November.
And there's no tradition in history
and
long-term passion with the Arizona Cardinals comparatively. So watching all this group come through, because it's not unlike NFL owners. Now, it doesn't exist with ADs. There's 32 kings of the world. Those are NFL owners. Mm-hmm. The level of celebrity on these guys, right, from Brian Kelly to Lane Kiffin to Kirby Smart, rolling through here to Steve Sarkisian. These are kings.
Yep.
Where they live, they're the kings of their fiefdom, right?
Yep.
They're the biggest stars in the world. They're going to get paid a lot of money. And
see,
for most
they're
of
CEOs.
Them. Yeah.
They're CEOs.
For most of them, and Will Muschamp, you can tell about that story.
Yep.
You get your run.
Yep.
It's not forever.
Yep.
He got his, what, five-year run at Carolina, four-year run?
Yeah, and the kind of news yesterday was not in the media guide. And people's like, wait a minute, what's going on? And kind of, I apologize, maybe. I know Will well. I know Will's been done for a while. But I didn't think, like, he barely had a role last year. Every Friday he was in Nashville with his son.
Right. He was not there game day with Georgia.
No, a couple at the end, but Sunday and Monday he was at Athens helping prepare, helping game plan, just going over some things, and he was gone for the week.
Yeah.
Well, now he is going to enjoy his lake house.
Yeah.
And he's going to enjoy this place he bought in Nashville, and he's going to watch his son play.
Right.
And
good for him.
He's earned it. Freshman quarterback.
At Vanderbilt. Yep.
Right.
And
he's earned it.
His oldest son now, I think, works for CAA. He lives in Nashville, too.
Okay.
So he's got some
skin in the game. It's not exactly breaking news on the Georgia coaching staff.
Yeah, he can come in that building anytime he wants. He was in Athens the other day and went around and saw all the kids, but he's officially kind of done.
When I look at Kirby's coaching staff, the analyst slash
it is some serious
guy. How about Glenn Schumann? Never played college football. He was Kirby's little do boy,
right hand man upon
right hand
hire.
Man, and he for 4 years, Kirby told him, he absorbed it, and now he's gonna be a major head coach one day.
Kirby Smart in Georgia will be here at SEC Media Days tomorrow. He is the elder statesman of coaches in the SEC now, right? Or is that Mark Stoops?
No, I think it is Kirby.
Okay, it is Kirby going into his ninth season at the University of Georgia. I was listening to something, Steak, the other day, and Kirby fits right into this realm. people who walk into a room and immediately command respect without saying a word. Kirby Smart will have that aura tomorrow. In this conversation, Peyton Manning came up. Jerry Jones was a name that came up. But Kirby Smart is the king poobah of the SEC now. That will be on display tomorrow. Brian Kelly right behind us, head coach at LSU, on the podium.
And they're trying to get in and out, do their stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And okay, be so back.
The biggest thing Kirby Smart needs to worry about right now is paying that gate fee on that out-of-state travel tournament he's at right now. I don't care who you are, what CEO, you better pay that gate fee on that tournament. I'll make sure somebody asks him that tomorrow.
Hey, a quick hotels.com search. If you're looking for a hotel room and you want to stay in Midtown, the Epicurean in Atlanta has one room left for $1,400 a night.
You got to be kidding me.
For $1,400 a night.
$1,400 a night. So if you want to stay tonight and tomorrow night in Midtown, that's $3,300.
It should look like coming to America, throwing rose petals at you and somebody giving you a bath in the morning.
That's right.
$1,400 a night, man. No way.
I know the hotel is a nice hotel and everything, but
I'm staying in Alpharetta. I'm staying in Alpharetta.
The Hilton Atlanta, which I'm sure we've all stayed at, $700 a night. They've got one room left.
I'm in Barcelona later this week. I'm paying one-fifth of that.
Of course.
Oh, yeah.
All right, we'll come back. Rusty Manziel is nice enough to be here along with Drew, the best crew for SEC Media Days on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, running point on a Monday morning in the great city of Atlanta, Georgia. Steak Shapiro.
It's been a minute, man.
I know, buddy.
We got the crew back together.
Well, you know, big time Rusty in the penthouse by the beach, playing private golf courses, showing up an hour and 20 minutes late.
I did not play a private golf course, but I should have.
Do your thing, Rusty.
You were in Panama City?
I was in Panama City, but the week before, which is cool, Drew, and I don't know if we talked about this on the air, I'm at the OT7 finals, and I'm standing there, and it's me, Drew Rosenhaus.
Oh, nice.
Shador Sanders, Jeremiah Smith.
What is the OT?
Everybody's on the sidelines. I'm like, none of them won a state championship, I don't think.
That's right.
Oh,
you did tell us that you were with Drew Rosenhaus.
He was there. I wasn't with him. But it was funny because Tyler Atkinson's the number one player in the state of Georgia. They just flew him in to be there.
Wow. And where was this at?
This was at Fort Lauderdale, St. Thomas Aquinas High School.
Gotcha.
And NFL Network shows the games. It's a crazy deal.
How hot was it?
It wasn't that bad.
Okay.
It wasn't that bad. I was surprised.
This last week would have been horrible.
Yeah, it would have been horrible. But,
I got a go ahead.
But I was standing there, and I saw Tyler Atkinson standing there by himself, and I thought, I bet Drew Rosenhaus is about to be like Drew Rosenhaus straight to him. Unfortunately, he's with another agency.
Gotcha.
I know that for sure. But he just said, hey, you know, but that's where we are in this
you
world.
You talk about two guys that have not lost their fastball with questionable reputations, though. Scott Boras in baseball and Drew Rosenhaus in the NFL.
Drew Rosenhaus in high school now. He's got Jackson Cantwell, the kid that kind of flipped on Georgia late to go to Miami.
Georgia has had a great recruiting week,
Georgia's had one of the best 30-day runs in the history of
Wow.
I mean, it's unbelievable.
Elaborate on that a little bit.
They came in, they've got 16 or 17, now 19 because they got two Saturday. Oh, by the way.
Including a five-star tight end.
They got a five-star tight end, Caden Prothro out of Bowden.
Shout out Todd Hartley.
Todd Hartley just cleaning it up. And then Tyreek Green, young man out of Buford, they think is the next Javon Bullard. He's a safety nickel.
I like that
box.
Comparison.
Jeez. He will tackle your ass.
Okay.
Wow. They loved him.
What was he down to?
Georgia and Miami. And let me tell you something. He really wanted to be at Georgia. He really wanted to be at Georgia.
There's no shortage of
because Miami
to
was trying
you.
To increase
no,
the scenery
get it, dude,
and
get
his
it.
View, I can assure you.
Yeah. No, I mean, listen, Miami's in the hunt with everybody. But, again, it's if you had to say that you're giving a seminar and, you know, you're speaking on behalf of watching Kirby up close. What is it that is allowing the level of success? Is there one or two messages that are clear-cut?
Two messages, and I think Drew will back this up really on the first one for me. When you hear NFL head coaches and you hear NFL general managers say these kids from Georgia are ready to play.
No question.
And they can handle being coached hard, and we don't have to decipher if that kid loves football or if he loves money. And those kids, and that's unsolicited.
Right.
The Houston Texans head coach, talking about Kamari Lassiter, he was like, we can't draft enough Georgia players.
Right.
That kid fell on our lap. And so then you go.
So the family. Family hears that.
Yeah,
the kid hears that.
Yes.
And it's about, like Rusty always says, what's the next 50 years of life going to look like? It's going to look a lot better if you get 8 years in the NFL.
Then you get the Kirby in person.
Right.
And I can't tell you how many people go, hey, man, I didn't realize that dude was like that.
It's such a gift. I couldn't agree with you more. I had a couple of buddies, but one in particular, this kid was a five-star. He said, we met with Urban Meyer. We met with Nick Saban. We met with Kirby Smart.
Yep.
We just, the charisma factor, and I'm not telling you Saban didn't win, but Saban would look at them and say, if you want to play in the NFL, this is what you do. They said from an engagement and charismatic, there's like, Urban Meyer was like, he was running a horse race about 50 legs back compared to Kirby in terms of personality.
Yep.
He relates to
the day that he's done coaching and he goes into media.
Yeah.
He will be a star.
If he wants to do it right.
How about just travel the country? Humor, smart, knows
well,
the game.
Well, I mean, I've talked about it so much. When your parents are school teachers, your mom's a school teacher.
Yeah, mom and dad both
right?
are teachers.
Both coaches. Teachers. Mm-hmm. When you read like he reads, when you're as educated as he is, when you are curious the way he is, when you have a sense of humility. I said it the other day with John Gordon when we did our interview.
That was great, by the way.
I appreciate it. That there's not a CEO job that would be too much for him if he didn't learn what the business was.
Sure.
Because he has every attribute, and that's why you moved to Athens for 3 years, get yelled at on that megaphone
campus. You hear the Fran Brown interview talking about what Kirby said? Don't come here and coach if you're soft, because I'm going to get on you.
Right.
If you're soft – you're not going to be able to
I was thinking
it.
The same thing about the NFL coaches that are in that building as quality control guys.
Yeah.
You know, as a assistant analyst.
Yeah.
Former offensive coordinator of the Jaguars. Not offensive line coach.
Yeah.
Former linebacker. Mm-hmm. You're a 15th on the totem pole, mm-hmm. and you know, Kirby's got a job, and he is going to be up your ass as a coach. He doesn't care what your pedigree is. I've got a job to do and keep us at the level of elite that we're at.
It's one thing to have a so-called sales pitch to a recruit and his family, but the fact that Kirby has the playbook and then the receipts and real-life examples of how this is going to happen. This is what your next 3 to 4 years are going to look like. After that, here's what your opportunities will be to play professionally because of you being here and buying in. That's what speaks the most.
What do you think of the Philadelphia Eagles – Super Bowl run, blowout win in the Super Bowl, did just for the brand of Kirby.
Dude,
how many times did you hear?
I played golf with a guy from Philadelphia. He has no Georgia ties. He's like a huge Georgia fan now. They love Georgia.
Right.
Brought
but I mean,
them
just think about the brand. Like, how did you guys get so good? Well, Howie Roseman had one real focus, draft Georgia guys.
Funny how that works.
And we just blew out.
Once he saw those first three, the next draft, he just came right back in on it.
Listen, Falcons not doing it for popularity contests, man. They realize there's something here that we need to be focused on. Let me give you our three strikes question. The SEC town you would move to tomorrow. The SEC town you would move to tomorrow. Your favorite college player from when you were at that school. So I don't care if you went to East Carolina or you went to USC, but your favorite college football player from when you were actually there. And I was noticing something. We're talking to Allison Mastrangelo, your beautiful daughter, Kaylee Manziel. The amount of women, beautiful women, I say this with all respect, that cover the SEC, that are front and center here,
just means
that are SEC Nation. You were just talking about Laura Rutledge, right?
Yep, she's right below us on the SEC network set.
So who is your favorite female in the sports broadcasting business? Your favorite female in the sports broadcasting business?
Sandra and Kaylee are disqualified because of blood.
Well, for you, but listen.
Sandra, Kaylee, there are tons. I believe Alyssa Lang is here from the SEC Network.
You know how much respect that Mina Kimes gets in the building at ESPN over everybody else in terms of just the way she goes about her business?
I've done a lot of work with Laura Rutledge when we worked at Scout.com, and I'm telling you, from 2009 on, she's been a freak.
Yeah, look at this. Laura from back then as well.
You know, two of the biggest stars at the celebrity game was Maria Taylor, damn good dog.
And Elle Duncan.
Right?
Maria Taylor has her own locker in Sanford Stadium.
What does that mean?
Cause, so all the recruits have their their locker.
Yeah.
She has her volleyball locker.
Wow.
They show recruits that.
I'm telling you, those two and their loyalty. Sorry, hey. Kirk Herbstreit, that it bothers you. That
that was Dr. bizarre.
Dude, he's so out in
that
another.
That was a bizarre statement.
Talk about a shot fired from, like, what? You got to go after L. Duncan.
If I'm not mistaken, the guy to the right of Herbstreit on the desk, Desmond Howard, is like a Michigan homer times a million.
I was in Indianapolis when Georgia beat Alabama, and I was in a bar when that game was over. And if you ever questioned how much L. Duncan loves Georgia. I said, L.
Good for her.
Let me tell you something. She was talking
awesome.
That you know what.
Good.
No.
Barking at people. She didn't give a damn.
Yeah. I mean, Kirk, in a lot of it, to some respect, has lost his way that he even gets caught up in having to take shots at somebody like that. If you hadn't heard, he says he doesn't know why L. Duncan gets on an ESPN set and roots for the Dogs outright. I didn't know that was
Kirk
so
is so above that. That's probably the most confusing thing as to why he makes
because
those statements.
He gets irritated now by
yeah, it's interesting. Things. Hey, the Home Run Derby's tonight. Aaron Stone, one of our listeners on X, he said, "Give Byron Buxton a shout out. Minnesota Twins. He's +850 to win tonight. He's from Baxley, Georgia. Aaron's hometown as well. So a couple of Georgia boys." In the Home Run Derby tonight, Byron Buxton's one of them, and then, of course, Matt Olson as well.
Hey, Wise Guys Pro Wash is bringing you the 10 o'clock hour, Atlanta's number one rated pressure washing company. Fill the lines for us, kids. SEC Town, you'd move to tomorrow. Your favorite player from when you were at your particular college, and the favorite female in the sports broadcasting business. 404-726-0929. We got 2 minutes. Make it fast. Get on board. 404-726-0929. 404-726-0929. Let us know if we get time to get a couple of calls.
You ever been to Oxford, Mississippi?
Tulane playing in Oxford in a few weeks.
What is Baton Rouge like? Obviously, I've played there. I've not spent enough time there to say I'd want to move there.
No, it'd be a great town to live in.
It's really game day.
Bigger than Athens, right?
Yes, bigger than Athens.
Bigger than Athens.
Yep.
It's like in between Ann Arbor, size-wise, and probably Athens.
Is it the state capital?
Baton Rouge. I don't.
Yes.
Is it?
Per our source back in the studio. Yeah, I think he would know.
Okay. Oh yeah. There you go.
I think it's a great town. I know Lafayette, Louisiana. It's a bigger Lafayette, I think.
I'm going to tell you a city that's booming is Knoxville.
That
battery they're building across the river at that stadium, holy smokes.
You know, if you think of quality of life, you think about cool city where
airport.
It's not all the other things. But Austin's a little cliched at this point, right?
Yeah,
I mean, everybody
says
Austin.
That a college
and the
town.
Cost of living. Yeah, well, it's an SEC town. I just said, but I mean, cost of living there, it's just gotten out of control.
If you take away the University of Texas, Austin still survives. If you take away the University of Georgia out of Athens.
I know a lot of
Knoxville.
Young professionals with young kids who are loving Oconee County, loving Watkinsville. Absolutely.
Everybody from Gwinnett's moving there.
Absolutely.
Or trying to.
Quality of
Once 316's done, it'll take about 35 minutes to get there. That's where I'm heading right now.
All right, we'll get some of those calls tomorrow because we're already done. We're at the College Football
Everybody's hung over from Beyonce.
A lot of action downtown, man. I was in the Omni Hotel. They are loving the Beyonce action for sure.
Shout out my good buddy Wade Turner, who listens to us daily up in Carswell. His daughter got engaged this weekend up at Barnsley Garden.
There you go. That's a beautiful place.
Yeah, man.
All right. Are you with me tomorrow?
I'm going to be here.
Off?
I'm going to be here, yeah, most of the time, yeah.
I think Sandy's here. I don't know, man. We just got the best coverage. Andy and Randy up next. Thanks for making the Steakhouse part of your day.